With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
What up? What's happening? Welcome to episode 3 of Full Court Press. I'm your host, Brendan Vogt of DenverStiffs.com. We got some cool content up at Denver Stiffs right now. We were all over Michael Malone's A-plus quote / speech after the win over the Los Angeles Lakers. Check out my game story, our roundtable, and of course, we were quick on it. D-Line Co. has done it again. We've made some shirts for you guys. Take that L with you on the way out. Take that shirt with you. Take that quote with you. Wherever you go, you can check it out on DenverStiffs.com right now and buy yourself one. They come in a couple different colors. They look pretty cool. So shouts to D-Line Co., who does great work, as always, for us, helping us out with those shirts. In this episode, I sat down with my best friend in the market and really first person that I met here in Denver, TJ McBride. He's been covering the Nuggets for several years through some smaller blogs, through BSN, through Mile High Sports. We talked for about half an hour about his path to a credential, our first time meeting each other at a bar, and he told a pretty funny story about this one time he almost broke some NBA news, which doesn't really happen for local reporters anymore in the age of Woj and Shams. Shams ultimately beat him to the punch. There's a pretty funny reason. Stinks for TJ, but I like to laugh about it. And he's a good sport about it. So it's a pretty cool conversation. I didn't get KD Winge. I said I would. I had a day to do it. I didn't have my equipment. It's my fault. And this is going to be a running bit all year, probably, of me trying to get her on the show. But you'll just have to settle for TJ. That's my guy, and I think he did a good job on this one. So without further ado, episode 3 of Full Court Press. Hope you enjoy it.
All right, take 5. Take 6, TJ?
Probably take 7. I don't know, man. We've never actually had a like functional podcasting experience together.
We're so bad at this. That's TJ McBride.
Hi!
You can hear it. This is going to be about the 5th time that we've opened the podcast.
Just this podcast, too. Not of all of the other ones we've attempted to do. Just for this exact podcast.
And I want to start it the same way, so let's try to have a genuine... We'll be repeating ourselves again. All right, TJ.
All right, just go. Dive in.
I wanted to have you on the pod, man, because... The whole thing here is about pulling the curtain back a little bit, give the readers a sense of who we are. And honestly, man, you and I are really good friends.
Yeah.
Isn't that good? We try to show that on the interwebs. But
a little too much, I think.
It's weird, especially now that we're competitors.
Yeah, it's even funnier when people see us almost as like a group almost. Like,
still.
It's funny. Like even when we go to the Stiffs Night Out, you know, there's a selfless plug for you guys just because I'm a good person.
Shouts.
But people know us. It's like, oh, it's TJ and Brendan. It's kind of bizarre like how much we're almost like a package group here when it comes to Denver media.
The Daily, what was the name of our podcast?
The Denver Nuggets Daily
Denver
podcast.
Denver Nuggets Daily.
You were on it for months.
Quotations around daily. That's yeah, twice a week.
There was what? Yeah, twice a week, and then we would like wait 2 weeks, and then we'd do 5 in 1 week. It was not daily. Is it still daily.
We'll touch on these days a little bit,
we're
the Mile High Sports days. But let's go all the way back to the beginning, man, because you are the very first person that I met when I moved to Denver.
Which is crazy to me, too, because we had this discussion about 5 times trying to do this podcast already, but... I don't reach out to people. Like, one of my things is that, like, I'm just going to go meet people organically. I'm just going to be in the industry and around everything, and that's how I'm going to make my connections. With you, I don't know why, and I still don't even remember the fact that I hit you up out of the blue when I saw that you had just showed up in Denver.
Which is hilarious to me, because I was sitting there fretting about hitting you up or not. Because I don't, you know when it's, like, academic, when they're just Twitter profiles
yes.
miles away? I was following you when I was in L.A. I used to listen to your podcast with Harrison.
Oh, the
sitting
old BSN
in the parking
Nuggets
lot
podcast.
Of L.A. Yeah. So I was like, I was kind of like, I guess nervous is the word. I was like, I don't want to bug
oh,
this
God.
Dude, but it might be like I had you pegged as someone who seemed like sort of on a similar path of the one I wanted to take. So you hit me up. We meet up at Historians Ale
yeah,
House.
Historians Ale House over on First and Broadway.
We got drunk And that's it. We've been friends ever since.
Yeah, and it was funny, too, because I want to ask you this. So you had a very wrong perspective of me before you met
That's right. Yeah.
So what was the perspective from, like, the first 5 minutes of our interaction?
So I say this to you every time I see you, and you, at this point, I hope, understand it's out of love. You're a crazy person.
Yes, I know.
You're a crazy
person. I'm happy to take in that, like, whatever the ideology or the perspective that I am just a psychopath. Like, I'm 100% okay with that.
Manic is the word.
There you go.
I didn't know. I would come to learn that it's because you drink, like, 10 freaking cups of coffee a day.
Yeah, on average. Right around there.
All right, man. So let's...
So yeah, but we were at Historians. We ended up hanging out, and we ended up just kind of... Just talking basketball. Can we cuss on this podcast, by the way?
I have no idea. Go
for
it.
You don't know?
Probably not.
We were just shooting the shit.
Yeah.
And it was great times. And it kind of just so happened that I needed someone to come write with me at Mile High Sports. I can't say for me because there was no money involved whatsoever.
Yeah.
But I needed someone else to come help out. And it just kind of so happened that it worked out. We just happened to get drinks together. And the rest is kind of history.
Man, we... And that launched like a... So from January on, I was credentialed last season, and it was just you and me every day between the podcast, writing everything we could at Mile High Sports. Those were fun days, man. I look back at those with pride.
I even tweeted this, I think it was last week, where I was like, man, I just miss doing podcasts with you and just, like, doing stupid crap together because, like, we were kind of just thrown into this because both you and I, like, I may have had a year and some change on you in terms of experience, but we handled it the exact same way. We kind of just got dropped into a professional media market covering a professional basketball team without much experience and said, go.
I know. It's crazy.
And that's probably the wildest part of all of this is that you and I both took that exact same trajectory into this industry.
And you know what's... You were my mentor. Like I
That's
had,
not
I
good.
I had to go to you for questions.
That was not a good thing.
Which I didn't even know. So I guess I did, because I knew you were my age, but I didn't know what your background, what your experience was like. And how did you get your start?
It was very random. I was actually at a Nuggets game just as a fan. I had someone invite me, and I grew up in L.A., so I love basketball, and it was always just ingrained in me. So I was always kind of curious about finding a way to be around the sport and around the league. I had absolutely no idea of how to do it. So I'm sitting just like, you know, a few rows up, watching a game with a friend, and I get a text from none other than Anilo Pirro, who was writing for Mile High Sports, or who he wasn't. No. He actually wasn't writing for Mile High Sports at the time. He had just started a random upstart blog called Denver Sidekicks, and their entire goal was just to put people back in the seats at Pepsi Center to watch these games. So it was really actually brilliant. I got to give Anilo a lot of credit for this, is he gave the Nuggets something they didn't have, which was fan interaction. And when you immediately, you know, are given something to a Nugget, to the organization of the Nuggets, they started giving us some things back. So Anilo Pirro ended up getting hired by Mile High Sports and got credentialed immediately.
That's crazy. And so, he was like 19.
So that's the craziest part, man. When I first met Anilo, actually at a Nuggets game as a fan as well, I was looking for like a 30-something-year-old guy, just like a regular individual, you know? And here comes up walking a high schooler with all of his high school friends, Anilo Pirro, at the game. It was so awkward. I felt like 1,000 years old because I was the only one able to drink. And I was just like, this doesn't feel right.
That's crazy.
But Anilo was a hustler and still is a hustler. He covers the Rockies for Mile High Sports right now. And he basically hit me up on Twitter, the same way I hit you up, apparently, and was like, hey, man, I'm starting this blog. You want to actually write for us? And, like, I had literally no writing samples. I had never written anything that wasn't school-related. Like, I had never covered a team. I just knew the team.
So you just started.
So I just started writing.
It's crazy. People ask me, I was going to say all the time. That sounds like a flex. It's really rare.
That's the strangest flex.
But occasionally people are like, how did you get your start? What did that look like? And without trying to sound rude, that's the answer. I just started writing. I didn't have a platform. I had my own blog. But it's crazy how you sit down one day and you write one blog post for fun or for Anila or whatever, and then you never
it
look
just
back.
Clicks.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so I ended up writing for Denver Sidekicks, and about, I would say, not even 6 weeks in, Anila got hired by Mile High Sports.
No kidding.
So suddenly it was just me and like three other random writers who were just as experienced, if not less experienced than myself, which was zero experience at the time.
So what does writing look like when you say writing?
It was just pregame, postgame articles. It was a whole lot of just random opinion pieces, because at that point, that's all you have is your own opinion of what you're seeing. You don't have the perspective of the players. You don't have the perspective of the coaches. I mean, you can find stuff on Twitter or, you know, reading through all the old school blogs, like, you know, because back then it was pretty much just Denver Stiffs, and then a BSN was sprinkled in there, and then there was the Post. So there really wasn't a whole lot of to even read. So we were just kind of just spitballing.
And do you feel... Like, is there imposter syndrome going on at all? Like, do you feel like you know the game well enough to be talking about it at this point?
I don't know if I...
Because for the record, I still don't feel that way.
I honestly don't. This season has been the most eye-opening experience for that because I have absolutely no idea what is happening with this Nuggets team. I've never been more confused about this team in my 4 years of covering them, which is so... It's very humbling to realize that you just don't know things.
You have no idea what you're talking
about.
Yes,
and, you know, at first I had this weird thought process where I do know these things. I can absolutely be this person. You know, there's no way that I can't figure this out. And it was wrong. Like, it took a long time to develop the nuanced opinions of the game that actually correlate with what is happening on the court and also connect with fans.
The first thing I learned when I got in the building was how little I knew.
Yeah, it's insane.
You realize,
man,
this rabbit hole just goes deeper and deeper than you could. And I'm not a basketball mind or basketball or product of the game even. I mean, this is like a late love for me. So it was a little intimidating sort of. But then I learned, for me personally, and I'm going to ask you the same question because I asked Matt Moore this, Flex, on my last pod. I don't care about being correct. I take it as a point of pride to put as much work in as I possibly can to come from an educated perspective.
Yes.
But I don't think it's my job to know what I'm talking about, as ridiculous as that sounds.
I think the way that I would phrase it, it's your job to try and figure out and actually know what's going on. My thing is not the outcome. It's the fact that you put in the time and the effort and at least attempt to gain enough know-how to convey what you are seeing on the court to the people who don't know as much as we may, which we may not know much, but there are people who know less than us. And it's hard for people who aren't around the team to have the same perspective as us.
Right.
So we may not know as much, but we have a better look into the intricacies that build up the Denver Nuggets organization.
And, you know, I think this might be one difference now in where I work at Stiffs and you back at the mothership.
The mothership.
Is that, like, I don't... So when I watched a game as a kid and it ended, I just wanted more, right? The final buzzer went off, but I didn't want the experience to be done. So I go to SportsCenter or I fire up a podcast or I read a recap or something. So I sort of view it that way. Like, okay, my job here is to help keep the conversation going.
Yeah.
So you're a Nuggets fan, final buzzer blew, but you're not done with the game, with the experience that night.
No, I mean, that's when it starts. I mean, everything that happens in the game is something that you're just taking in. You don't really get to put any of your own thought process into it. You're just watching and absorbing as much as you can. Where things got interesting for me was that I could finally ask the questions I had been so curious to ask and actually start developing perspectives about things that are unspoken. Because, like, the things that I didn't know coming into this industry were, like, lineup data. Like, how do two players work together on the floor? Why do they work? Why do they not work?
I only know it if it's
more
Monte.
Of it.
Good. It works well.
Good. Yes. Or Moutier. Bad.
Not this year. Apparently he's a good basketball player.
He's been
now.
Good for the past, like, 2 weeks. Yeah, but regardless, it was strange to, like, have to take myself back from absorbing the game and actually having to do something beyond that and push beyond those seams because... That's the hardest part for me, is to figure out the interpersonal relationships, why things work. It's more the psychology behind the game as opposed to the X and O's that are happening on the floor.
And you know what's funny? The closer you get to a team, you realize, like, all that stuff matters. Player
Everything.
Relationships, chemistry, relationship with a coach. I've never, you know, we'll never know how to quantify that stuff, right? How to calculate that.
Well,
utility,
there's not a mathematical equation you can put to those kinds of things.
But I can tell you that it absolutely matters.
Yeah, I mean... I've told you about this. I don't know if I've yelled this out on Twitter or anything, but my overall goal is to eventually work for a team and be a scout and things like that. And the first thing that I realized that I just didn't know was how important the personalities are for them, not just the makeup of the team, but just for one person getting better on a year-to-year basis.
Well, that's the Anthony Bennett story.
Exactly.
Right? That's a player who had the talent to go, maybe not quite. I
mean,
he
had
some
talent.
But
he was there.
Maybe a lottery talent. But I guess the knock on him is that when the going got tough, he wasn't about it.
I mean, even JaVale McGee, up until the past few years, like, he just connected the dots of how hard he needed to work and what he needed to work on.
Right.
And before that, like, he wasn't a bad basketball player, but he wasn't good. And he didn't have the same vigor in him to be great. And now that I get to cover this Nuggets team, you see guys like Gary Harris and guys like Monte Morris. Like, I remember during the pre-draft workout process this past summer, every single time media walked into that practice court to watch a pre-draft workout, Monte Morris was waiting for the court to open up. And, like, those things, those intangible things that you just don't get a chance to perceive as a fan, as someone watching from the outside, it changes your opinions entirely.
So you start, we'll go back.
Yeah, we started
as a fan.
Yes.
And you're writing
basketball
as a fan.
Yeah.
How long before you start thinking about credential or that becomes, like, on the table for you?
So Anilo got hired by Mile High Sports. I ran Denver Sidekicks for about 6 months, and then Mile High Sports hit me up needed another Nuggets guy because they were sending Anilo to the Rockies. The second that I got that call, I was like, all right, I have to not be a fan. And I've never been a Nuggets fan. Like, I lived in Denver, which is why I was watching them more often than anybody else, more than any other team, I should say, not anybody else in that way. But it wasn't because I was a Nuggets fan.
Which is interesting because there's the perception of that stuff has changed over time. I think, like, I don't think the public, if you're capable of doing your job in an objective manner, I don't think people care if you're a fan or not anymore.
Yeah, like Adam does a great job of this.
Adam does a great job. Kevin O'Connor, right? He started as a Celtics fan.
Honestly, Zach Lowe was on Celtics blog first.
Right. So, was he really?
Yeah.
Man, that shows. I did not know.
He was also, then before that, he was on a crime beat.
Yeah.
He was literally writing about
crime.
That
I knew. But there's a lot of guys in the Nuggets, guys and girls in the Nuggets market that I think are fans. You're not. You hate the city of Denver.
Yeah. There's a lot. This is my favorite way to describe the city of Denver. It's the greatest place you can be stuck. Like,
wow.
I have absolutely no qualms with, like, the fact that I'm here. Like, there are definitely places I would rather be. I'm a big city person. Like, I grew up in Los Angeles. I want to be in New York. I want to be in Chicago. I want big markets. I want big environments. I want nonstop. Hence the psychoticness that we talked about earlier in this podcast.
I mean, you grew up in Watts.
Yes.
Which, here's my, we talked about this academic perspective. I grew up in a three-story Victorian home.
Yes, we're
with
very
a hot
different
tub.
In terms of our growing up in that way.
So the Watts is not a great place to grow up. That's my understanding.
Yeah, I mean, it is a, when you hear the term ghetto, like, that is the embodiment of the term ghetto and the way that Hollywood perceives it.
Like a lot of what kids in the East Coast might think of Compton have in their heads. It's like,
yeah,
Watts
so
is closer to that.
Watts is what Compton is made out to be in the movies. It's kind of the way, it's called Gutterville for a reason. I mean, it's not a good environment, but the one thing that it always had, and LA always had, regardless of how bad things were, was basketball. Mm. And that's why I grew so attached to this. But again, like, the big city part of this is that's how I grew up. I grew up where things were a mile, you know, 1,000 miles a minute all the time.
That's
and
a,
Denver is not
for sure.
That.
No.
Like, Denver is like, oh, let me just meander my way through and just, you know, be calm and happy and not be too worried about it. Like, that is not me. That is the opposite of me. It's the antithesis of what makes me at the core.
No, you can tell. That's one of the, you said, what was my impression of you when I met you? That. I was like, this is one of the most hyper-stimulated people that I've ever met.
And I need it. I don't know what else to do with myself when, you know, things are slow.
Oh, what were you talking about?
Okay, so I ended up getting hired by Mile High Sports,
right.
And I became a professional, quote unquote professional, which I still have trouble putting that title on anything that I do. I'm sure you have feel the same way at this point.
Yeah, you come off that way though. That's, you do, at least on the internet.
Thank God for the internet, because I can hide all of my drunken escapades and chaos in my life to myself or put it on Instagram.
Yeah, if I didn't know you so well, I would think, man, that guy's got it together.
Yeah, oh man, that's just not the case. But
so how long have you been at Mile High Sports now?
It's weird. So I was at Mile High Sports for about a year. And then Harrison Wind of BSN Denver hired me to, because I wasn't getting paid at this point by Mile High Sports. So I was just credentialed, and which was great. And like, honestly, I was like, cool, get to pay my dues, work my way through. And then Harrison Wind of BSN Denver offered me some money to come over and write for them. So then I went from a year at Mile High Sports to about a year at BSN. And now I am actually back at Mile High Sports with a bit with an actual pay raise and actually being able to do this full time now. And I've been at Mile High Sports for the second time about almost a year, so probably almost 2 years. Okay. Mile High Sports, 1 year at BSN.
So how many years total credentialed now?
Credentialed, this is my third full season.
Do you feel like a savvy vet?
No.
In the media lounge?
No, I do not. I mean, and this is the thing, though, is like Christopher Dempsey, who now is the Altitude.
Christopher.
Yeah, Christopher, don't call me Chris Dempsey, as he used to be known on the Colorado Sports Guys podcast with Nate Timmons and Jeff Morton back in the day. But he's been around the Nuggets organization for 15, 20 years. You know what I mean? Like, I met a guy that you actually read is Benjamin Hockman, who writes for the St. Louis Cardinals now. He was the Nuggets beat guy for 15, 20 years as well, and I was talking to him all the time. And, you know, Jeff Morton's been on the team for 10 years. Matt Moore's been in the industry for 12, 13 years. Like, to be here for 3 years means nothing at that point. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, the amount of dues that are still left to be paid and the amount of stuff that there is still left to learn is so, you know, it's almost insurmountable at this point.
Established, though, I would
say.
Sure.
I mean, I've been around the team long enough to be at least a known quantity of my writing are for the Nuggets.
Long enough to, all right, you can, if you want, if you get mad at me for this, we can edit it out. But long enough to, oh, TJ's distracted.
Sorry, there's unicyclists playing basketball on the Nuggets court as we're podcasting, and I was not prepared to see this.
That's a really high unicycle.
I know, it's like a 5-6 foot unicycle. He dunked earlier.
Is they gonna alley oop? Are you gotta be kidding me? Play by play, they did it.
What did he? We just stopped on a dime. Okay, I don't.
All right, let's focus back up. That is incredible. I feel like when it comes to unicycling, you have to
practice that,
right?
I thought we were going back to the
right?
basketball stuff. Yes, I think you would too. Or you can just have Kyrie balance where you can just like, you know, get the whole Michael Jackson lean going on.
I'm just wondering how many times you fall before you get good at unicycling. But that's neither here nor there. We're talking about being established in the locker room. Established enough that in a smaller market, a market that really lost a lot of attention during the Brian Shaw era over there.
Brian Shaw, who is in Denver right now as an assistant coach of the Lakers.
That's right.
Yep.
So you have a great story that I was hoping you would share. And if you don't want to do it, you can yell at me. We can edit it out.
But no, we can do this. Let's do this.
You almost broke some news, which doesn't really happen anymore for local guys.
It's hard to.
In the era of Shams and Woj, it seems like, especially in Denver, we're not really here to break news. It's not usually thrown to us.
And at the same time, too, like, if there's news to break, the team usually just gives it to the biggest, easiest, most accessible writer there is, which is usually Woj or Shams.
Right.
Because they're so well connected. But I had developed, I don't want to say a relationship with Torrey Craig, but we became... what's the right term for it? Colleagues, in some sense, where like he knew I was covering the team. He was trying to make the team.
It was a professional.
Yes, it was. And it was his first game at Summer League now 2 years ago. The Nuggets had brought over Torrey Craig, and I actually asked the Nuggets head of analytics before the game started, who should I be watching for that I don't know? And he said Torrey Craig. So that night, Torrey had a great game in Summer League. I can't remember, it was like a 16.7 rebound game. And I interviewed him after the game, and we just kind of started having that professional relationship in that sense. And I was really the only one talking to him. I just kind of was just going off of a tip from someone who worked in the Nuggets front office and was hoping for the best at that point. And Torrey starts to kill it and starts to, make a name for himself. He ends up coming onto the Nuggets as a two-way contract guy, builds up his reputation.
So we'll set the scene. It becomes clear that Torrey is probably going to be offered an NBA contract by someone.
Yes. And
really the only question is, will it be the Nuggets or will someone else offer it?
And I had been digging on this story for probably a month, longer. And I was in contact with people who knew, at least were privy to what was happening. They were directly connected to Torrey in that sense.
So you came up to me off the record. You're like, look, man, this is going to happen, and I think I'm going to get it. And so the night before...
let's just tell the whole story for sure, because that night before is what made this so chaotic.
We're on the old strip. We're on Fremont Street.
And this is Summer League this past year, the 2018 Summer League we just had.
Vegas. Adam Mares was in his element.
Oh, man, that was fun.
Just holding it down at the table.
But yes, we were gambling until what? I would say 6 in the morning. And I knew that I was waiting for that call. So what I did is I went back, took a nap, and I woke up in the morning about 30 minutes before I was expecting the call. That was the confirmation that Torrey Craig had signed his deal with the Nuggets. I literally had the numbers already. Like, I was completely prepared. Like, I had the story written. So I wake up, and my phone is on the charger, but it's off. I unplug it off that charger, throw it on my wireless charger. Won't start charging. Plug it into my computer. Won't start charging. My phone would not turn on. And I abruptly realized why big-time newsbreakers have two telephones. It's just like, I can't get the call. I can't make the call. And even worse, the person I was talking to, I did not have their phone number. It was through Instagram.
Oh, no.
So I couldn't go on Facebook Messenger. I couldn't go on my messages on my computer. Because Instagram, you can't message from the desktop version.
Right. Yeah.
So I had literally nothing. So I hung over after gambling till 6 a.m. with you hooligans. I am now at, I believe it's 8:45 at this point. I am in my rental car whipping down the road trying to get to the Apple
and
store.
From our end, by the way.
Everyone thinks I'm dead.
Because no one responds. No one's on their phone more than you are.
Yeah.
So if the text doesn't go through, try Twitter. If the Twitter DM doesn't get answered, I check your page, nothing from you. And not only do we have a game, I know that this news is coming and no one can find you.
Yeah, and I had everybody hitting me
and
up.
The last time
I
saw you was
like,
5 in the
yes.
I thought you were dead.
It was you, it was Adam, it was Matt Moore, it was Harrison, it was even Jonathan Jarks of the Ringer, who I had talked to a little bit about this to kind of get some advice. He, like, everyone was like, they don't know where I am. So I am currently at the Apple store just like pacing back and forth, like waiting in line behind like six old people at the Genius Bar on a Monday morning. I've never been so angry. It has been a long time since I have been that off kilter. I was losing it. I was about to yell at a bunch of old people in the Genius Bar. So finally get up there, and it takes them 30, 40 minutes to look at my phone, trying to figure out why it's wrong, and the battery doesn't work. To pay $200 just to get a brand new battery put in my phone, turns on, and there it is. Sham Sharani of Yahoo Sports back in the day. Torrey Craig is signed with the Denver Nuggets on a full NBA deal. I have 6 missed calls from the person I was supposed to talk to. Like, all the texts and calls from you guys. And it's like, what, 11 a.m., 12 at this point? And I'm just like, oh, man.
I told my buddy this story, and he goes, well, it's just Torrey Craig. I'm like, you don't understand. Local reporters don't beat Shams
anymore. Like, and that's the thing, and I had that story. I had it written. Like, man. It was done.
I almost cried for you, but I was too busy laughing.
I literally went back to my hotel room, and I laid there for like 4 hours before coming back to Summer League to watch some games.
It's a thankless industry, TJ. You almost had your big moment.
Man, I'm like sweating even telling that story again. That was the worst.
All right, that's really the number one reason I wanted to have you on the spot.
Just so I can relive that chaos.
All right, so I usually close all my podcasts. This is the third episode.
Yeah, shout out to Wingy and Matt Moore.
Not Wingy yet. I've been trying to get her.
Oh,
that
I just accidentally plug a podcast that you haven't done.
I've been plugging her for 2 weeks. I might just never have her on. That'll be my running bit. No, I have this segment. It's called About the Author. So I ask you some questions, maybe not basketball related, help the folks at home get a sense of you as a person a little bit better.
Yeah, you probably don't want to know me as a person, but we can try this.
You are a hip-hop aficionado, or at least you claim to be.
Yes.
TJ, who is the most underrated hip-hop artist alive today?
Oh, Can I give you 2 answers?
Sure. That's cheating, but fine.
I know. I'm going to go with Big Crit, but he's more well-known.
He is underrated.
He's underrated for sure, but more well-known. The one that's, like, off the maps that people should know is Odyssey. It's Odyssee. It's Odd I-C, but it's all one word. The dude is he's a magician.
That's crazy. Okay, you are a sneakerhead. How much money do you think you spent on shoes in your life?
In my life?
Yeah. Just a rough estimate. Because for me, it's like $40.
Yeah, well, you have like 3 pairs of flip-flops you've owned for your entire life.
$2
And then you
flip-flops.
Finally put your toes away because you moved to Denver.
I have
1
pair.
I've probably spent a very rough estimate, $5,000.
Jeez, that's more than I've made sports writing.
I've also like sold a bunch of pairs where I've made probably about $5,000 back. But
all right, that's... This seems worth it then. Is it a worthy investment? Is it a waste of your time?
I mean, it depends on the shoe. Like I remember Kobe Bryant retired. He had his 60-point game, and they dropped the Fade to Black Kobes that day. And I got a pair in the raffle, paid like, I think it was like $650 for them, and I sold them for $1,300 in like an hour and a half later.
That is awesome.
So like those things, like there are ways to do investments with it. It just, you got to be smart about it. You can't just like go buy any pair of shoes and hope that they resell in the future.
Okay, here's a question. This is a life question.
Oh, no.
I'm putting you on the spot. You hate Denver. Where would you live if you could live somewhere?
New York.
Else? New York?
Yeah.
Have you been to New York?
I have once. I finally just went.
It's a madhouse, man.
I love it.
Yeah, you would love it. I don't know
it's
why I say that.
Me,
like,
yeah.
It's precautionary. Yeah,
yeah,
it is
Chicago
perfect.
Is the place that I'm more realistically on my way toward because it's not New York. Like, you got to have a job lined up in Manhattan to be able to make any kind of money in New York. So I don't have that going on quite yet. But at the same time, Chicago would be cool.
Two more. I think I'm going to use this one every time. It's just a good question, if I do say so myself.
So bad, man.
What is your most embarrassing moment as a media member?
Ooh.
Right?
I'm going to have to think about that one.
All right, get back to it. I'll ask you another one really quick. Do you miss me at Mile High Sports?
I do miss you at Mile High Sports. I hate everybody else. I'm just kidding.
Shouts to Skip. Shouts.
Brandon Ewing does great work. Duvalier Johnson or Duvalier or Dev or Duve, whatever you feel like
beats
calling
me.
Him. That Jenna girl sucks, though. That new girl at Mile High Sports, not my favorite person in the world. Shouts
I could
to
do
Jenna
without
Garcia.
Her. Yeah.
But, man, this unicycle thing is just throwing me off. But, no, I do miss working with you, man. We had a lot of really, really fun times.
It was fun, and it was... To be sort of in the same place in life at the same age, and like, there's different ways you can approach this, right? Like Dempsey and Adam and you and I, like, we all have a different level of sort of passion, a different sort of approach to it. But it was fun to just like, now let's be maniacs. Let's stay up till 3 a.m. Let's hit the bar.
That's what we did. And like, we hustled our way to where we are now. We had lucky breaks along the
way.
No
doubt.
Like, there have absolutely been lucky breaks, but I do like to think that we worked our way into that luck.
You know what? I don't think those two things are exclusive, right? You work hard. So that when those opportunities come, like, you can't get lucky without the hard work first, right? Yeah. That's how I view it.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, you gotta answer my question.
Most embarrassing moment. I got popped.
I asked Greg
Popovich about Nikola Jokic, and he said who, and then literally went to the next question. Like, this is after Nikola Jokic had like a 27-10-7 game against them like 3 weeks earlier too. So like, there was no reason for him to do that. Dropped my phone on Nikola Jokic's foot once, and then he reached down and picked it up for me on camera. That was pretty bad. Trying to think of anything else. Had my coffee explode courtside when a ball got whipped at me by accident.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah, during pregame warmups, ball just came bouncing over. I was deep into my phone, as I tend to be, and all of a sudden there was coffee exploded all over me.
Speaking of which, I'm tired. I need to get some coffee. TJ McBride of Mile High Sports, thank you so much for joining
me. Dude, I was happy to do it, man.
We'll probably, like, I'll probably have you on again at some point. This podcast,
it's so loose. So you can do whatever you want with
it. Yeah, it's not really clear. So, like, you know, we did our whole origin story here. I might have you on to talk about more specific things.
Yeah.
If you ever drop a good piece again, who knows?
Dude, hey, man. Isaiah Thomas pieced up on Mile High Sports right now.
Oh, plug that. Plug whatever you want.
Yeah, milehighsports.com. I have a big piece from the magazine that I wrote and from the November edition of Mile High Sports magazine on Isaiah Thomas being the vocal leader, even if he's not playing right now. It is up on milehighsports.com as we speak.
Awesome. TJ, you're the man, dude.
It's always good talking to you, bud.
All right, shouts to my guy TJ. That's my guy. That's my day one. He's the reason I'm here. Helped me get in the door. Helped me get that cred around my neck. And just forever grateful to him, even if I am getting a little bit sick of him. So, yeah, just really glad he sent that message to me that we met up at Historians. Shout out Historians. Feel free to sponsor this podcast because I've said your name like 6 times for free. So just think about it. All right, next week I should have Katie on. Who knows? This thing is taking on a life of its own, but I'm going to try my hardest. If not Katie, I'll get a backup guest. There's a lot of cool folks to talk to in this town. So thank you so much for supporting the show if you've done so. If this was the first episode you heard, go back and check out episodes 1 and 2 with Adam Mares and Matt Moore. And make sure you subscribe to our Denver Stiffs podcast feed. It's on iTunes, Stitcher, however you get your podcasts. Go ahead, subscribe, and throw us a rating. We really appreciate it. I'll talk to you guys next week. And go Nuggets.